I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. All of you who have gathered in the house of the Lord have come from different walks and different concerns and sometimes even some celebrations. And for all of those things that we bring together this morning, we come to be silent and to listen and to pray and to sing and to be aware of living and loving in God's presence. So welcome to this morning of worship at Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. If we have, everyone who is here, please take those green friendship pads in the middle aisle and make sure that you can get your presence recorded so we know, too, of any prayer concerns or celebrations that you might have or questions through the course of the week. There have been some announcements I know that have been flowing through on the screen. Just to take them chronologically, 2 weeks from today, we will have a blessing of the animals outside at 6 p.m. in front of the sanctuary. You are welcome to bring any of your caged, leashed, or holstered animals. They need to be contained, and we will have treats for them and water bowls on Sunday night at 6 p.m. 2 weeks from today. That's the blessing of the animals, and if you want to bring pictures or images of your pets, that's fine too. 3 weeks from today, we will celebrate World Communion on October the 6th. The world will be illustrated in the sanctuary. We will have places from north and south and east and west and all of those places where we understand God's kingdom to reign. So it will be a day of festive communion and great celebration. Are there any? Oh, and following the communion service, we'll be having an international buffet. So bring some eclectic food, or you know, chicken and dumplings and apple pie. That works too. Anything that you like to eat, we'll have a buffet luncheon after lunch on October the 6th. Are there any other announcements anyone needs to share? Particular things going on that we missed. Fall Festival, October 26th. We need candy for bags of treats. Please give to Johnny or Petey. Any other announcements? I also know we're all aware that after worship today, we'll have a congregational meeting, so don't hurry out. It'll not be long, but please plan to stay after the benediction. Yes, Paige, please. Super. Friday, October the 4th. Youth of whatever age you feel youthful. Lion King, that's relevant for all ages. Come and on the grounds. And it's at, the time is 5:30? 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. Okay. Sherry, please.
Our yoga and meditation classes begin on the 4th Sunday. And if you're an adult or you're interested, just don't wear a dress.
Next Sunday, 9 o'clock in the youth room upstairs on the second floor. It's time to open with a psalm, and I invite you to either turn in your Bibles or it will be on the screen as we read responsively verses of Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in this secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them.
Have no sin, then the truth is not in us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if we lay our burden at Jesus' feet, then God will receive our confession to help us turn toward goodness and peace. Let us pray. God of love and kindness, we confess that we are sometimes half-hearted in our efforts. We start out with great enthusiasm, but then our energy fades and our interest wanes. Forgive us for breaking our promises. Forgive us for losing patience with those who are difficult. Renew us in the faith and enthusiasm required to be persistent. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
God patiently seeks us out and takes us in. The grace of Christ overflows for us with love and forgiveness. Thanks be to God. As we come together to share the peace of Christ, we remember all of the people that are gathered this morning around the communion tables and into the churches and celebrating the peace of Christ in their midst. And we will light this candle, but first I will share and invite you to say, "The peace of God be with you." Let us share.
Thank you. Please be seated and open your pew Bible to Jeremiah 4, 22 through 28. As we prepare for this morning's reading, it's important to note that Jeremiah was an Old Testament prophet, and Judea, during the reign of King Josiah, over 600 years before Christ. He's often called the weeping prophet because of his deep personal struggle and telling of impending doom. In today's text, Jeremiah's prophecy is calling the people to abandon their evil ways and worship of idols. But as the people are slow to change, Jeremiah warns of impending disaster. Jeremiah's vision of this destruction is like a reversal of creation, a return to the original chaos out of which God created the world. He also believed in natural consequences of our choices and of our actions. So while he spoke of God's impending doom, he also warned people against the natural course of things. So if you continue to run a red light over and over again, you're probably going to get stopped by a cop or have an accident. So Jeremiah often was known also for being pretty correct in his prophecies. So he's credited for what he says and his visions actually coming true. So he had a lot of credit and a lot of credence was given to the things that he shared. So as we think about his warning for the people of that time, it also applies to us today. So what are we doing that we know is not God's will? And what are we saying and how are we being in this world that has natural consequences that we may not desire? So Jeremiah's word is still alive today, and his prophecies, while 600 years before Christ, also apply to the things that we're doing and thinking and saying in today's world. There's also hope, even in the Old Testament, in verse 27, that not all is lost. The whole land will be in desolation. God has declared that it is not the end. There remains the hope that a new creation may once again be born. Why is it that we have to hit bottom or be in total despair before we're open to being reshaped and recreated in God's image? Please hear the word. My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. I looked at the earth, and it was formless and empty, and at the heavens, and their light was gone. I looked at the mountains, and they were quaking. All the hills were swaying. I looked, and there were no people. Every bird in the sky had flown away. I looked, and the fruitful land was a desert. All of its towns lay in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. This is what the Lord says. The whole land will be ruined, though I will not destroy it completely. Therefore, the earth will mourn, and the heavens above grow dark, because I have spoken and will not relent. I have decided and will not turn back. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Great job. Beautiful. We invite the children to come forward and have a seat around on the floor in front of the baptismal font.
Okay.
Thank you, Sandy, for that children's time. And it's always an adult time as well, because everybody's listening to the time for children. And it was the perfect lead to remember that God was also on the road looking for Paul and helping Paul to be brought back in to the sense of community and fellowship, actually when Paul was Saul. But today we have a flashback to that a little bit, and we have this letter. I'm going to read it. I'm going to start with the first verse just to introduce and then read verses 12 through 17. I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that our Lord considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. But the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world, the whole world, to save sinners, of whom I, Paul, I, Lynn, I, fill in your own name at the blank, am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, God only wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. A word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, O Lord, may all the meditations of our mouths and hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is a little bit of a fast forward from Paul's flashback about having been a blasphemer, a person who not only persecuted but killed members and leaders of the Christian church. We don't remember Paul's story very often because there are so many more things about Paul in the text and about his letters and about his church planting churches and spreading them all across the land, that Paul is remembered for being this faithful apostle, this God-fearing disciple. But we have to remember this morning that Paul was forgiven for being a blasphemer, for speaking against our Lord Jesus Christ, and yet brought into the family, brought into the fold to be one of those who helped lead the church and give it its truth. The mercy of God was revealed to Paul in transforming forgiveness. Forgiveness allowed Paul to be a new person. And rather than God accusing Paul of his outright meanness and evil, God showed Paul that he had been acting out of a very limited understanding of the gospel. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we pick a little phrase, or we pick a verse, or we pick a chapter that tells us exactly what we want to hear, and then we forget the rest of the story. We don't use it in context. But now Paul knows the truth, and he declares it, namely that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The forgiveness of God does not rest on a blanket condemnation and rejection of us, but reminds us of the fact that we are made in the image of God and planted within us. When we are intricately formed and beautifully made, is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a little bit of background that we need to continue to remember about Paul, though, and I want to be able to see everybody, so I'm not going to fall off the edge, but I can see the choir, too, so this is good. Paul's background was very obedient to the faith in which he had grown up. And this is the fact that Saul, was really an insider in the church and the temple. He has the authority to deal with the problem of the followers of what used to be called the Way, which was the original name of the Christians. But in Saul's defense, he thought those followers of Jesus were being disrespectful to Jewish tradition. He was blasphemous and disruptive to the community. Jesus was saying things that at the very least were weird to the establishment of the temple. And they were weird and strange to all of Saul's followers. In fact, there are even some documents in the Roman amongst the Roman papers that accuse the followers of the Way of practicing incest, because they all called each other brothers and sisters, even when they were married. And we understand that because we call each other brothers and sisters, even though we aren't biologically related. We are related because of the Word of God. But in Saul's world, that sounded strange. And some of the followers of the Way were accused of cannibalism because they were talking about receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And that kind of explanation to the early church was blasphemous in itself. Christians who were taking on that name after they were no longer called people of the Way were assuming that Jesus was the very Son of God, and that for the early Jews was not about to be accepted. And then some of the other pieces that were difficult were the women of the church were also included in this following. And the women of the church in Saul's day were supposed to marry the well-to-do men and to be the ones who would produce children to work in the government and in the businesses and even in the temples. But the women that were poorer and had achieved less were expected to birth the children that would build the roads and work in the fields and to be the slaves. Those kinds of discrepancies existed for the days of Saul, and he stood on the Bible. He stood on the Torah for his explanation and defense in killing people of the Way. We look back on some of the things we learn as children, or I know I can, and remember that I was in a little bit of a outside field for what the church really needed to be exclaiming. I remember when Mike and I got married, one of my wonderful uncles was at the wedding. My uncle Ralph, he was there at the wedding, and my uncle Ralph was a retired Marine at the time, and he was a very, very strong and man of great presence. And he came over at the reception and tapped Mike on the shoulder and said, "You know they're going to want to mess with your car. You better give me the keys so I can supervise." "Yes, sir," said my husband, and delivered the keys to my Uncle Ralph. And that felt good because we knew that my uncle would take care of the car and also let enough mischievous shaving cream and thankfully no fish on the engine, but other things happened to our car. That was the relationship I had with my uncle when we were married. But I remember, too, when my uncle was in Vietnam and I was in fifth grade or maybe younger. I know it was at least that time. And I would write letters to my Uncle Ralph in Vietnam. And he would write me back because he said I was one of the few that actually helped him feel connected to his family. My Aunt Lucy, of course, did as well, his wife. But I remember at the Rocky Ford Baptist Church where I grew up and the fellowship in which I was baptized, I remember as a fifth grader we would have revivals, and I was standing in a circle with all the people that were the members of the church, and we were praying, And it was always the way that we closed the revival, with prayer from each individual or anybody that wanted to. And Pastor Perdue, Lloyd Perdue, had asked me to start praying when I was 10. So I was ready to do that. And I prayed that night. And I was thinking especially of my Uncle Ralph and how lonely it must be. And I remember saying pretty much verbatim, God, please be with my Uncle Ralph and all the people in his platoon. Help them to get in there and fight for you, Lord, so that they can finish the battle. That was my prayer. I said that as a fifth grader. On the ride home, and I was sitting in the back, and my dad turned around, and it was dark. Thank you, it was dark. My dad said, Lynn, God doesn't teach us to fight. That is not exactly the prayer you want to issue tomorrow night. God doesn't teach us to fight. God doesn't teach us to be belligerent, to be bullies, to be people that can separate one set of people and then on this other side have a set of people that are okay. God wants us to figure out how to be one together, how to live with people that are different from us, how to live even with the enemy, even with the enemy. There were three travesties in the early church, three things for which the church would surround the people that committed these offenses to God. One was murder, one was adultery, and one was blasphemy. And any time even soldiers committed any of those crimes, they were surrounded by the people of the church and prayed for their redemption, prayed for their forgiveness, surrounded in love by the people of the family of God who want us all to be one. That sense was a part of evolution for Saul as he came to understand that even after he had been a persecutor of the church, God welcomed him into the fold. Saul was blinded on the road to Damascus so that he might need to be led. He might need to be vulnerable. He might need intimate care by the people whom he had killed. That's hardly different than where we are today. We have felt offended. We have been offenders. We have struggled in our need to come to forgiveness. We have struggled in our need to understand how we eat this bread and cup, knowing that we are one, not with just the people who are seated in the pews around us, but how we are one, worshiping in the midst of this community on the edge of Charlotte, and the place that is changing more and more every day. Change will be and is inevitable, but God's love is constant. God's promise to us to overwhelm the anxieties we have, to overcome the differences we carry, and even to bring us back into harmony with those who have offended us and with those whom we have offended, so that we might all be one. The mercy of being able to be led not by the blind, but by those who follow the truth of our Lord Jesus, the one who came in this world to save us to full and abundant life, the one who from the cross said, Lord, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. And yet, even to the one beside him who was being crucified for an offense, crucified for a real reason, Jesus said, because you believe, today you will be with me in paradise. The promise to be together in paradise starts now. The promise to be together as the family of God is ours. Let us live into that, knowing full well we will commit another sin, we will make another mistake. But if Saul, who stoned Stephen, and those who crucified Jesus can be forgiven, so can we. Amen. We come to this time of prayer knowing that as we gather and lay our concerns at the feet of God, they are heard, they are received, and transformed. Might we share those concerns and joys that we have with one another now? Please, Heather. Whoops, I'm sorry. Heather raised her hand. Yes, go ahead. Catherine, who feels like a mother in Heather's family, who is 99 years old, has been diagnosed with bladder cancer. We will remember Mary in our... Catherine in our prayers. Yes, Beverly.
Aiden's occupational therapist, who's worked with him for 2 years, so has gotten to be part of our family. Her husband was deployed to Afghanistan. Mm. Seth is his name. Seth has become very ill with a virus that they are not able to really, they're having trouble getting it under control. He needs our prayers. He's so homesick. And his mother has sent a devotional book to him, but it's in the mail, so he needs our prayers.
Today and tomorrow and Tuesday and all the days this week, we will pray for Seth, who is the husband of Aiden's therapist. Seth is in Afghanistan and has an infection. Thank you. I know that some of you are aware that Jill Griffin had surgery Thursday morning, and the surgery was to help alleviate some pain in her back. It didn't have anything to do with the pain she struggles with in her neck. But Jill, thankfully, is recovering better, much better now, and she was eating and smiling and talkative yesterday. So Jill Griffin, we will remember, as well as Connie Stroop, as she continues to recover. I see two hands. Yes, Sam? Sam's dog has almost category 3 cancer, just a recent diagnosis. I'm so sorry. Riley?
My back has been hurting, and I've been going to the chiropractor. And
Riley's having back pain and needing some attention for that. We hope that'll help. Yes, Aiden?
I have two things.
Two things. Okay.
And I was bleeding.
I'm glad that's recovering. Don't mess with it, so it'll heal well.
Second thing is?
The cat returned? Yeah.
That I haven't seen since Easter.
Yes?
He came back 2 weeks, but I haven't seen him since then.
Okay. We'll keep that cat in the loop and hope he returns. What's your cat's name?
Shadow.
Thank you.
A kitten and a grown-up cat.
Thank you, Aiden. Thank you. Denise, please. Barbara Stevens just left because of an emergency with a family member. We don't know. Just now. Yeah. Sandy. Aaron, who got hit by a car, a pedestrian. Petey.
The lady that brought us lunch yesterday.
Wednesday night, the chicken, thank you. I was forgetting though. Chicken salad chick Wednesday night. Anything that they sell is a benefit for a family whose home burned down this week, and they lost everything. So Wednesday night, Chick-fil-A, Chick Salad Chick. in Concord, in that shopping center, near where Kohl's is. Yes, Sam. Is he in the hospital?
No, well, he went to the hospital and he was recovering, and they put him through an MRI thing to see if he was still good. And he took a whole bunch of x-rays, and he was good, but the next day on Friday, at 12:30 in the afternoon, he died.
Oh. Sam's friend, young man who had been hit by a skateboard while he was on his skateboard, actually died in that accident. We have just heard a long list of concerns and prayers, and I know that we hold each of those in our hearts. I want to call us to a moment of silence and let you think about each of these individuals, and then we will pray our Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Our trust and faith in you, O God, for recoveries and for consolation during grief and for support even when we are in foreign lands and struggling with a great deal of stress and anxiety. Walk with us. Hold us. Be with those who are just learning of new diagnoses and concerns. And let us now pray in silence. Because we know of your presence and we trust in your care, we say together and pray in earnest the way Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
God of our past, present, and future, show us your imagined future for ourselves, our congregations, our families, our leaders, our ministries, and our money. Give us the courage to share what we have in ways that are life-giving for all involved, including you, in the hope and peace of new life in Christ. Amen. Now the work of worship begins. Go out into the world in peace, knowing you are cleansed of your sins and free to share the love of Jesus Christ with all that you meet. And may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this fellowship of Holy Communion be with you now and forevermore. Amen.